Keep this frequency clear.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited for the mean streets of Danville, California. We're doing our This Week in MMA on a Monday, Prados. With me, as always, the yin to my yang, the Batman to my Robin, the bait to my pasta. I still get a kick out of that. Prados, let's hit the music, because I don't think anyone's going to get that, by the way, except for you and I. But let's hit the Prados music. Hit it!
Good evening, Tony, and how are you this evening?
How about that? We're doing it at night, Prados, and we're doing it on a Monday. It must be like Canada Day, July 1st, by the way, for those that don't know.
Yes, coming up this weekend. Appreciate it.
Prados, we decided to do This Week in MMA on Monday because there is no MMA this week coming up. So we had a lot to talk about. I think we're going to miss it just a tad. But like Prados and I were saying, the world doesn't end if we don't do a show. But the world does end if we don't talk about Bellator, NYC, and Bellator 180. It took place, Prados, June 24th at the Madison Square Garden Arena in New York. Total attendance, Prados, almost double of what the UFC had. Of course, much larger venue. Total gate, almost three times over. Actually, a little over three times of that of the UFC. Obviously, high-dollar tickets there, Prados. Prados, what did you think about Bellator NYC / Bellator 180?
Well, you know, as I said on the pick show on Wednesday, I wasn't super excited about this card. The main fights that I was interested in were Ryan Bader versus Phil Davis. Of course, we had some controversy there. Of course, Douglas Lima versus Lawrence Larkin. And of course, that was a great fight. And we had some weird things happen and some things that were maybe unexpected happen on this card. And of course, a double knockdown in the co-main event. So other than that, I don't have much to speak about this card because Tony, as I told you, I didn't watch it live, so I didn't see a lot of the production value that went in it. So my question to you is, what did it look like? Did you enjoy the production value? Did it feel to you like it was worth, you know, the $40 or $50 that you had to pay for this?
Actually, it was, Prados. You know what's funny? I was watching The Man with the Hat, Chuck Mendenhall, along with Ariel on YouTube right after the fight, and Ariel Helwani flat out asked him, was it worth the $50? He said, oh yeah, it definitely was. I think his exact words, oh yeah, I think it was. You know, the only thing that might have been missing, Prados, was the fact that Kerri-Ann Melendez didn't get to fight. And I mean that sincerely, actually. Yeah, hashtag, well, with all due respect to Gibbler, right? Because we love Gilbert Melendez. But, you know, it really was. Let's fly down to Bellator 180 because that's the prelims, right? So, and of course the undercard. But Bellator 180 will fly through these. Hugh McKenna defeated John Salgado. Matt Rizzo defeats Sergio Da Silva. Anthony Giacani defeated Jerome Mickles. Bradley DeSerre defeated Nate Craig. And to put this in perspective, Prados, or of course, as our boy Lerone would say,
TJ,
TJ, who's your mama?
Or better yet, as your boy Connor would say.
Who the fuck is that guy?
That's right. But then we went to Bellator 180. The prelim headliner was Ryan Couture versus Haim Ghazali. Ryan Couture with a well-needed victory, actually. Undercard on Spike TV, Prados, that was a damn good card. Heather Hardy defeats Alice Yager. Hashtag cue the music, Prados.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Pretty good.
Probably not the most technical fight, Prados, but it definitely was rock and sock and robots.
And Heather Hardy seemed to be very appreciative. She seemed very happy to be there. She seemed very happy to have a bunch of stitches in her head when she was in the post-fight interview. It was a very good undercard. I mean, like you've been pointing out, maybe the fights on the undercard outshined a lot of the fights on the main card.
You're not joking about that. What say you, Rhonda?
I don't care about interviews.
Thank you, Rhonda. Okay.
Thanks, Rhonda.
You know, James Gallagher, I guess he's Gallagher, not Gallagher. He defeated Shinzo Machida, Prados. If you didn't watch that fight, I was really surprised. This kid may be better than we all think he is, because Shinzo Machida, although he's 40, that was the funny thing, Prados. James Gallagher, 20 years old, youngest fighter, believe it or not, on the Bellator roster, younger by one, younger than a month, over Aaron Pico. He defeated 40-year-old Shinzo Machida, and believe me, Prados, it must be something in the water in Brazil, because Shinzo Machida does not look 40.
Right. Well, we did discuss this on Wednesday. Not on it. Supplements are legal down there. But I digress. James Gallagher might be better than we think he is. And you know what? Everybody seemed to be really impressed with him. And it's good to see. It's good to see the up-and-coming kids. You know what I mean? The next generation of kids are just going to be so much better. You know, they're going to be one step ahead of everybody else, and the game is going to definitely change. And maybe James Gallagher is going to usher that in. But, of course, there are lots of guys we can say about that right now, but, of course, not Aaron Pico.
Now, you know what I wonder? Obviously, I don't think he would fare well, but, you know, his training partner and actually fellow gym member, Conor McGregor, they were in the same weight class at one point. Yeah, did you know that?
No, yeah, I did, but who? Is this McGregor guy
you speak of? Oh, yeah. He's a boxer. You didn't know that? He's a boxer. Right,
Don't
Dana?
Don't ever buy another UFC pay-per-view again.
Thank you, Dana. And, of course, Ryan Bader defeats Phil Davis. Now, honestly, listen, I like both of these guys. I was really looking forward to that fight. I think most of us were looking either. This was one or two in terms of the fights that we most wanted to watch. That weren't like fun fights, right? That weren't joke fights. Or I shouldn't say joke fights. That weren't off the kilter fights, right? Bader versus Phil Davis.
Sorry.
Yeah, it might have been circus fights, right? I mean, it probably right.
Do it.
But Ryan Bader defeats Phil Davis, and honestly, Prados, I don't think Bader defeated Phil Davis by the same token. As I was chatting with you before we actually got on, I don't think Phil Davis won either. And I know you're a big proponent of no contests via draws, but I'm telling you, I think you're right about this one, Prados.
Well, I will take your word for it that because you actually did put your eyes on this fight. But yeah, as you mentioned, I'm okay with a tie. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that a lot of people wouldn't be okay with it because of the, you know, entertainment value and the fact that we apparently need to move things on, even though we have really no meritocracy in the sport at all. But people seem to think that we need to move past certain fights. Look, these guys are good. These guys are very, very good at the top end of the sport. And as we saw in their first fight, Tony, as I said on Wednesday show, Smack My Picks Up edition of AMP Radio, we saw this fight already, and it pretty much went the same way as far as I can tell. But like I said, these guys are very, very good, and they're going to negate each other's skills because they're both wrestlers. So it's all about who can get the upper hand. And these guys, of course, are kind of older fighters, shall we say, Tony, more wrestling-based fighters. Yeah, I apologize for saying that, but they are. I mean, they're both kind of up there when we say, you know, James Gallagher coming up. You know, when we compare them to the new crop of guys coming up, the new guys seem to have a lot more skills, you know, a lot more skill set because they're training in MMA. They're not training in just wrestling first and then getting into MMA. But I'm getting off on a tangent here. You asked me about ties or no contest kind of things. And I agree with, as you said, I agree. I think that ties are fine. And if you wanted to run it back again, but you don't really need to, you know what I mean? Just, I guess Phil Davis would retain the title and move on and defend. But as I had mentioned on SmackDown Pickup edition of Amp Radio, I did believe that, you know, this was going to happen, that Ryan Bader was going to beat Phil Davis by decision, I think I said, in the fifth, which did happen, split decision apparently. But I would have been fine with a tie, man. I mean, I would have been fine with a tie and we just move on. I mean, it's fine with me. It's a sport. Sometimes ties happen.
You know what's funny, though, and I think you're right, if we were to say, hey, listen, let's run it back, we'd probably be seeing the same thing. You're probably right. I mean, as much as exactly. I hate to say about, as much as I hate to say about, you know, ties and all that, you're probably right on the money.
And I know it's a championship fight, and we want a resolution, right? We want a resolution, Tony. We want a winner because it's a championship fight. But, I mean, why can't the both guys be very, very good? And I mean, we had a fight that was very, very close that there really wasn't a winner in. And as you said to me, that you didn't think there was a winner in here. You didn't think that either guy deserved to get the nod on this one. So, you know, maybe I don't know what you do if you add an extra round. You can't really do that, though, right? Maybe run it back. But nobody's going to want to see that for a third time, right, Tony? You can't really sell that for a third time. So I guess in this case, especially on the big scale that they were at, Madison Square Garden, you did need a winner. And I guess they, you know, closed their eyes and picked a winner. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
And you know what? That's what it looked like. What's interestingly enough on the MMA beat, you know, Ariel show that he does with Chuck Mendenhall, Luke Thomas, and I always forget the other gentleman's name, and he's fantastic. He's from the Washington Post.
The man with the shirt.
The man with the shirt. You know, one thing that they discussed is how Scott Coker said that this is the best card of the year, or the best pay-per-view card of the year. And you know what, Prados? It was 100%, I'm not joking, the best pay-per-view card of the year. This was a really good card, man. Up and down and any way you want to see it. I mean, it's better than, let me put it to this way, it's better than anything that the UFC has produced thus far as of, you know, June 26th of 2017. Moving on to the pay-per-view part of it, Prados, also known as, of course, Bellator NYC. Don't ask me why they had two things. And welterweight, Douglas Lima, like I called it, Prados, defeated Lawrence Larkin. No one called this, I don't think. Zach Freeman defeated Aaron Pico. I called that too. I did.
I called
actually.
That too. Yeah, no, I called it. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's the next, it's the
only
next
because
it, that I didn't know one called.
No, you know what? You know who called it? Mrs. Primus called it, you know, or the family of Brent Primus, right? Because Brent Primus defeated Michael Chandler via weird doctor stoppage. Again, that same guy, that New York NYSAC guy. I you know, we spoke about this before, Prados, on your show, and actually we spoke about it on This Week in MMA, that New York isn't ready for MMA, or at least not primetime MMA, and they're not, Prados.
No, they're not. They're definitely not. I mean, Anthony Smith on Twitter, at Lionheart Smith, when the stool got pulled out and there was the gif of
Michael
Chandler falling
on
his ass, he came back and said, you know, I would have been pissed. I would have been throwing you know, bombs on the guy who pulled the chair out. And it's just a calamity of errors, right, Tony? I mean, we've just seen so many different things out of this commission, and no, they're not ready. And I've said in past shows, I mean, I miss New Jersey. I really do. I mean, it's not as sexy place as New York City, and it's not as sexy as Madison Square Garden. But you know what? They get stuff right in New Jersey, don't they?
Well, not only that, Prados, if you talk to Gigi, of course, our friend to the show, friend, actually the reason why we're on this, if you talk to Gigi, New Jersey is ready because they did, of course, have that, what was that MTV show with the five or six tans?
Jersey Shore?
People. Jersey Shore, because they did have Jersey Shore, right, Gigi? Yeah, you know what? I actually used to watch that. I'm lying. Okay, let's move on quickly, Prados, because we're running on fumes for this one. Matt Mitrione defeats Fedor, and I think we all knew it was going to happen. I just don't think anyone wanted to see it. That was pretty sad.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird situation, right? Like this card, as we said, mentioned the past two fights before it were very strange also. This card just seemed to have a lot of strangeness going on with it, and this fight was no exception. I mean, the feeling out process that both of them and the respect that both fighters were giving to each other was, you know, pretty great until they both kind of got sick of respecting each other and started to throw. And, you know, they both connected at the same time, and Mitrione was able to recover faster. You know, I mean, he's only 2 years younger, and as you had said, Tony, on Wednesday, you know, he hasn't taken as much damage in fights as Fedor has. I mean, Fedor's been in a lot of wars. He's been in a lot of, you know, head trauma kind of fights, and you know, just took a little bit longer to recover. And I don't know, Tony. I mean, that this result didn't shock me, but I don't know if I want to say that Fedor is done just because Mitrione knocked him out fairly quickly. I think that there's still a lot of value to Fedor's name. As I was saying on Wednesday, I don't really agree, but I mean, people are going to watch for Fedor. They're going to watch and watch him lose. And he honestly didn't look as bad as BJ Penn did the next day. So, I mean, even though he got knocked out, he really didn't look as bad. I mean, as Mitrione had said, he's a fighter. He's trying to calculate how you're moving, and he's watching your hips. He's watching your arms. He's watching how you faint, and he's processing it. He just got caught. I mean, people get caught in MMA, and I will give him a pass on this one. As much as, you know, I'll bag on him, I'll give him the respect on this one, Tony. He just got caught in that one, and I just don't want to see an immediate rematch. There were some reporters were like, oh, you want the rematch? And I just want to see a rematch right away, Tony.
Yeah, you know what, Prados? Honestly, Fedor, in my eyes, was just too good for this. And what's funny is I was actually listening to Morgan this morning, John Morgan, and they said, okay, well, you know, Anderson still has value. You're right, but he sort of Fedor, but do you really want to see that man become, you know, the blunt of jokes? I don't, he's clearly not the same fighter. He hasn't fought the same caliber. Matt Mitrione destroyed him, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be more of it. And I mean, even if you see like a Sonnen Fedor fight, which I certainly don't want to see, that Chael Sonnen was calling for. I mean, I just don't want to see anyone be made a fool of, and these older fighters that maybe, I don't know if it's the fire or maybe they need the money. I don't know what it is, but these are great fighters. A lot of these people that are not the shell of what they were. And, you know, even Vitor, and you can say TRT Vitor or any of those, but, you know, it's sad to see fighters like that, whether it's Anderson Silva, whether it's Fedor, whether it's, you know, whether it's Vitor or any of these guys that just are shell of themselves. It's sad, Prados. I don't think I want to see that again. Neiman Gracie, of course, defeats Dave Marfone. Chael Sonnen defeated Wanderlei Silva in a much-needed Sonnen win. And to be frank, it was your typical Chael Sonnen victory. Wanderlei, here's another one of those fighters, guys, that we haven't seen fought in 4 years. Heck, we didn't see Sonnen in several years. And, man, he's great on the mic, Prados, but that act is becoming a little, you know, dated. But boy, That's, I mean, I think this is what we expected, right?
Yeah, we did expect a boring fight. I was hoping for something more exciting. I was hoping that Vanderlei could connect, which he did a number of times in this fight, and he did drop Sonnen a couple of times in this
fight.
And, you know, that's exactly, that's the most exciting part of this fight. I mean, to be honest with you, just watching Vanderlei hold on, and he did a great job from the bottom. I said that he would. If he got put on his back, I did believe that Vanderlei, being the high-end jiu-jitsu fighter that he is, would hold his own on the bottom, which he did do. I mean, no one got finished here. Vanderlei didn't seem to take a lot of damage, and he was ready to throw again. Like you guys were saying on Wednesday, Vanderlei's been off for 4 years. You know what I mean? And as Chael said in the post-fight interview or post-fight press conference, that, you know, that's what they both need to get back on pace. They, like you said, Tony, Chael Sonnen's been off for 2 years. Vanderlei's been off for four. So it's going to take a little bit for these guys to get back in there. And like you said, though, do they have the time to do that? Do we really want to watch that happen? I don't know. Only time will tell. I'm very interested, Tony, in the pay-per-view numbers as we start to wrap this card up. I'm very interested to see how the pay-per-view did. I know that the free portion of Bellator did seem to do very well, even though the numbers are kind of confusing, because apparently they combined the numbers of Spike TV with the CMT broadcast of the same time, and they're blending those numbers together. So that doesn't really make sense, because I don't think the fights are on CMT. So why do those numbers fucking count? Sorry, Tony. But I'm very, very interested. And there was a reporter on the post-fight press conference that did ask how they were trending on the pay-per-view model. And all that they had to say, all that Bellator had to say was, oh, we were number one on Twitter. Well, that's not the same thing as being number one on pay-per-view for that evening. So I'm very, very interested to see the numbers, Tony, because I do believe that this card costs a great deal of money for Bellator to put on, and they pulled out all the stops. And from what I looked at, what I saw, they looked like they were doing things very well, except for that audio. A lot of the audio in the press conferences that they were running after the fights and the post-fight press conference was a little shoddy, so... Let's pick our games up here, Bellator, just a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think they did a great job, honestly, in the production. I mean, it is first-class products, very reminiscent of Strike Force and Pride. And interesting enough, you were saying that Chael Sonnen, that Vanderlei was doing pretty good on the bottom. And, you know, Chael Sonnen actually said that about Jenna Jameson, too, didn't he?
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
Ba-dum-ba. Excuse me, bitch!
Oh, man. All right, let's move on.
Somebody's mother.
Yeah, good Lord. Yeah, hold on. Kevin Lee might come after us, or rather, Michael Chiesa.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Yeah, exactly. Let's fly through this UFC Fight Night Chiesa versus Lee, UFC Fight Night 112. We'll fly through the prelims. Kimbo, of course, defeats Stansbury. Martin defeats Johnny Case. Boy, what happened to Johnny Case? Jared Gordon defeats Mitchell Quinones. Daryl Horcher defeated Devin Powell. Carla Esparza defeated Marina Moroz. Boy, that was a really odd fight, by the way, Prado. Marvin Vettori defeated Vitor Miranda. Clay Guida, a 35-year-old Clay Guida that looks 45, defeated Eric, is it Koch or Koch? He had unanimous decision. Yeah, and that was... I mean, that was a sound defeat, no doubt about that. Clay Guida actually looked good. Minus, I actually thought Clay Guida was gonna. Clay Guida tends to do well when he's put in high profile, non-title. that's the asterisk right there, Prados. Non-title, right? Position.
If I may, real quickly here. I mean, I just wanted to comment on Coke. I don't know what has happened to him. He was an interesting prospect, and I guess that's just what happens to some guys, right? Like you just said with Case as well. I guess that's what just happens with some guys. They either make it or they don't make it. But I thought Guida looked great. Maybe it's the alpha male training all of a sudden that he's getting a good wrestling game. I thought he looked really improved. Sorry, Tony. Move on. Sorry.
Well, you know what's funny, though, Prados? And we'll move quickly through this, but as you were saying about Eric Koch, I mean, he's lost to people that he should lose. And he lost to Lamas, lost to Poirier, lost to, well, maybe, well, I think those are two good fighters. I mean, lost to.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, well. I mean, I think he's lost to quality people. Johnny Case, man, I'll tell you, this guy, one can make a case. Nothing?
Oh.
Yeah. Hold on. You know what we missed, Prados? We missed this. You know, one can make a case, honestly, with Johnny Case that I mean, you know what? Very similar, actually, to Eric Koch, if you want to be honest. I mean, he's only lost two in a row. Before that, he was on his huge run, right? Like a 11-fight win streak or something close to that. Who the hell knows what happened, Prados? Let's get into this. Talk about people that we don't want to see fight again. And listen, we were talking about legends, et cetera. BJ Penn, make no doubt about it, Prados, that's a legend. And he was soundly defeated, and I mean soundly defeated by Dennis Seaver. This fight, one could make a case, man, if you give, Seaver 20, 30 more seconds, this fight's over. But boy, I mean, stoppage. But BJ Penn is done, Prados.
Well, it's the same. It's the same thing over and over with BJ. He doesn't like to train. He doesn't like to keep his game up. He said he brought in the same guys that allowed him to win the championship at 155 back in the day. But again, it's just a question of heart. Now, having said that, I do believe that BJ Penn took some shots from Dennis Seaver that, you know, BJ Penn of 2 years ago would have folded and gone home with. So, you know, I did see some improvement in his cardio and being able to withstand some damage. But like you said, Tony, it was not even close. You could see the look on BJ's face maybe midway through the first. He knew that he was in for it. You know what I mean? Like, Dennis,
yeah, he looked defeated. You're right.
He did not stop throwing. He was throwing kicks all the time, whether it be to the head, to the body, to the legs, you know, that spinning round kick to the liver. He just didn't stop. And the offense from Dennis Seaver was impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Burns. Right. But, I just, the audio, whether it's John Anik, I know you sometimes don't listen to this, but they kept saying that BJ Penn, the power's still there. Power may still be there, but the chin isn't. And to be honest with you, he was in pretty good shape for BJ Penn of late, but it's certainly not the BJ Penn of old. I mean, no pun intended. I mean, he didn't look good. Tim Means defeats your boy, Alex Garcia. I think we all called that one, right? I think we all called Tim Means because of the range. Yeah. Dominic Reyes, a guy I've never heard of or seen before. Good Lord, Prados. If this kid is real, very impressive. 24 years young, 6'4", and defeated Joe Kim Christensen, who's no joke, Prados. I mean, certainly there was a difference in age, 14-year difference. But man, he was finished quickly.
Do you want to talk about a psycho killer? Dominic Reyes looks like a psycho killer. I mean, that guy was so in his striking. Sorry?
Keskese, psycho killer, Keskese. No, all right.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa, better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he looked very impressive. Dominic Reyes, watch out for this guy in the future, man, because he can only get better from here, hopefully. But he did look very, very, very pinpoint with the striking, very technical. I was very impressed.
As they say, Prados, hold on, I got to drop this and then edit this.
What are we talking about?
Thank you. Prados, as they say about anyone with the Dominic with that ends with a K, they seem to be pretty good.
Yeah, huh?
Seem to be.
Get it? Dominic Cruz, Dominic Reyes. Never mind. All right. We move on, Prados.
Got it. No, I got it.
Hold on. We might have to kick. Yeah, we might have to hit the crickets on that one because that was pretty bad. Prados, we move on to the women's strawweight. We go. I don't think it's any surprise that we thought Felice Herrig would defeat Justine Kish, and not because Justine Kish isn't a a good fighter, but she's a kickboxer, right? I mean, it's Felice Herrig, even though she started in Muay Thai, if you remember that show, Fight Girls, as I've often lamented about. Felice Herrig, she's on some run. I thought that post-game I thought that was kind of odd, that whole feel sorry for, I shouldn't say that, because I'm a fan of Felice Herrig, but I don't know. I thought it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Did you read about that or see that, Prados?
Oh, that the UFC's not promoting her because she's not pretty enough and she's not young enough? Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she does do a lot of self-promotion, and I haven't seen a lot of promotion from the UFC, and of course, Felice would know the best whether or not she's getting, pushed enough. When you have a fighter in Paige that hasn't fought in a while, and, you know, young girl, pretty, they put her on Dancing with the Stars, and Felice has not gotten any of that push, but again, Felice has gotten a lot better over the past couple of fights, and we did talk about this on a previous show, Tony. I think it was after Felice's last fight, you know, that we did mention that she has been improving. And Tony, I thought that this was a very impressive performance by Felice. If you make your opponent defecate in their pants because they're trying so hard to get out of...
That was gross,
It was gross. It was not very nice at all. I think that you win an award just for that. And not only that, but Felice got onto the back after that defecation was in the pants and tried to finish the fight. So, very impressive performance. I can only assume that Justine Kish smelled very terrible. I would not have wanted to be that close to her. And Felice Herrig was trying to get that win despite any consequence, Tony, I'll just leave it there.
Yeah, and it's happened before, right? I mean, it's happened before on the football field. It's happened before in MMA and probably boxing. And listen, I mean, none of us have ever been choked out. It does happen. Listen, Felice Herrig looked fantastic. I think of everyone complaining about giving yourself a push, I think sometimes they have to push themselves. Felice Herrig certainly has a lot of fans, including me. I think she's done a great job with her Instagram posts and everything else. I mean, she is an attractive person, but heck, do you really want to see her fight Joanna Champion? I think we know what the outcome would be there, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, we know what would happen, right?
I do like to see her in her comic book underwear. That does please me greatly.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. So hashtag cue the music.
Yeah, hashtag must watch, right? No doubt about it. All right, Prados, let's move on. We go to Tim Boach defeated Johnny Hendricks. I called this almost to a T, actually. I didn't call a head kick. I called punches, but he eventually was stopped via punches due to the head kick. And you actually sent the text message right away saying, bye-bye, Johnny. Is this it, Prados?
I don't see how it's not it. I mean, you first of all can't make 170. Then you can't make 185. I think that Johnny's body is done, man. I think Johnny's body is done cutting weight. I think that he's done cutting weight. You know, it is rather interesting to note that after GSP fought him, he did mention non-onit supplements, and he didn't say who he was about, but I think we all knew that he was speaking about Johnny Hendricks, and Johnny Hendricks has not looked anywhere near his former championship self after USADA has been implemented, and he's just had a meteoric fall from grace. I did call this one also. I did think that Tim Boach was going to knock him out. It was amazing because they were calling for the head kick in the first round. I think it was Anik that was saying, you know, if he just had that high kick, and you know, he pulled it out, and the first time he threw it, boom, connected real hard on Johnny Hendricks, and like you said, finished on the ground with punches, and just a masterful performance. I didn't think that Johnny Hendricks, you know, had anything for Tim Boach. I mean, he's a much bigger guy. Didn't look like he was the faster fella. I thought Tim Boach was on point for this fight. Really, really looked good. Very technical, hitting with all the power that he could and all the punches, not wasting any energy, and you know, finally finishing it with that beautiful head kick. And yeah, I don't really want to see Johnny Hendricks fight anymore. You know, he's got what, 5 children now. I mean, just go home, Johnny, and take care of the kids.
Carlos, this is the same guy that beat John Fitch. This is the same guy, a good John Fitch. I mean, well, John Fitch is still good. This is the same guy that beat Josh Koscheck, and this was a good Josh Koscheck, right? Not the Bellator one. He beat Martin Campton. He beat Carlos Condit. I mean, I have to remind myself because I can't believe this. This is the same guy that beat Hobby Lawler, right? And then, of course, lost to him, right? This is the same guy that beat Matt Brown, the good Matt Brown. Brado, in his last 9, he's 3-6 in his last 9, has missed weight 3 out of 4 times. The only time he didn't miss weight of his last 4 fights, right? Because he's missed weight plenty of times before that, right? Or one time actually before that. But the only time he didn't miss weight in his last 4, right? Because Mitch, he missed weight twice, right? Then he moves up to middleweight, makes that in your neck of the woods, Halifax. And then, of course, what happens, Carlos, misses weight by 3 pounds at 185 at middleweight. I don't think he has the desire anymore, Prado. I think he shows he doesn't care. And maybe he should take the big out of Rig because poor guy. Oh, I mean, I'm one to talk, but darn. I mean, it's this guy used to be a damn good fighter, Prado. Damn good fighter.
Tony, I think that a USADA has definitely changed Johnny Hendricks. I'm going to be honest. If you look into it, Tony, if you look back into the dates, his decline happens very, very close to when USADA was brought in. So let's just, you know, take it for what it is and thank Johnny Hendricks very much for his entertaining fights that he has put on in the past. I mean, That electric left that we used to see that knocked Martin Campman across halfway across the octagon does not exist anymore. So, you know, questions are out there in my mind for Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah, and speaking of USADA, Prados, listen, Jeff Nowitzki, thoughts and prayers go out to him because he actually just had surgery and a pretty serious surgery. I think it may have been Yeah, I mean, so listen, thoughts and prayers go out to him because he, I mean, a family man, et cetera. I'm not fond of what he did with cycling and some of that, you know, USADA stuff. But, I mean, this is a good man and a man that local guy to San Jose State University. This is a good person, man. That shout out to Jeff Nowitzki and his family. Thoughts and prayers obviously go out to him. Good man. Let's move up to the guys. Your guy, Mario Yamasaki. What can you say, Prados? At the lightweight, Kevin Lee defeats Michael Chiesa via controversy, via really a rear naked choke. And I honestly thought that in my opinion, I thought Michael Chiesa was going out, but like Kenny Florian said at the end, heck, let him go out, right? It's not going to cause any major. He's just going to go to sleep and hopefully nothing other than that. But tap out or nap out, right? Or what is it? Tap or nap, right, is what they say. What say you about this, Prados? I mean, you saw this.
Yeah, it's crazy because 2 fights before this, we saw Kish get out of a serious rear naked choke. I don't know how she got out of that, but she did get out of it. And I would have liked to have seen, as you said, Tony, Chiesa have the opportunity to try to get out of that rear naked choke. Was he going to get out of it, Tony? If you ask me for my opinion, I say no. Kevin Lee looked very, very impressive. I know I begged on him a little bit on Wednesday, you know, for entertainment value. But this guy's looking good. He's looking shredded. He's looking tough. Do I agree with, you know, how he's selling himself? No, I don't agree with how most people sell themselves, but that doesn't matter. He's a very, very talented fighter. Showed it against Michael Chiesa. Now, As I said on Wednesday, I was very concerned about Michael Chiesa's time off. You know, he had been off due to back injury. We heard that he had been, rehabbing in the Exos Institute, which apparently is partners now with the UFC for rehab. But I was still concerned if we were going to see the same Michael Chiesa. But, of course, you can't bet against, you know, somebody that you've seen, you know, pull things off. You know, he's managed to win fights that he's not supposed to win. And even Kevin Lee's himself and his coach said as much on the MMA Roadshow with John Morgan. Yeah, just a very impressive win. Mario Yamasaki, disgraceful. It was a disgraceful thing to, like you said, you know, Kenny Florian is correct that, you know, you just let these guys go out. If that's the case, I don't know if he was trying to get in there early to stop any kind of extra damage. But like you said, he's right on top of the action, you know, let either Michael Chiesa, you know, fight out of it or go out. Like you said, I mean, one of the two, and Michael Chiesa is one of those kind of guys that will go out. So, I mean, that's what I was expecting. To be honest with you, Tony, I was expecting, you know, to see Chiesa go out and Lee get the win that way and not have any kind of controversy surrounding this because, as you said and as I said earlier, I thought he was going out for sure. Kevin Lee looked fantastic in this performance.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I thought Chiesa was going to win because of the length. And listen, Kevin Lee, and shout out to Kevin Lee, who's a Junkie Nation favorite, and all around good guy. I mean, for Junkie Nation, seems to be active with the junkies, et cetera. So shout out to Kevin Lee. Listen, I'm not a big fan of smack talking, as you know, but this guy actually has been walking the walk and talking the talk. So shout out to Kevin Lee. I like him. And I don't think, like, you're right, I don't think Chiesa, after the back injury, let's hope he, I mean, yeah, this is kind of fluky, but Kevin Lee did look considerably, I thought, quicker than Chiesa. So, I don't know. Shout out to Kevin Lee for sure. And do we need to see the rematch, Proteus? I don't think so. What say you?
No, there's no reason we need to see a rematch there. Kevin Lee was getting that win. I don't need to see it again. If they want to run it back, you know, run it back. I mean, and as you said, Tony, there was what, 5 years age difference here between the two guys. So, Kevin Lee's going to be the faster guy. You know, it's unfortunate for Chiesa, and I hope he can rebound because I do enjoy, I do enjoy me some Chiesa, some Michael Chiesa, but it's just unfortunate loss for him right now.
Yeah, and shout out to our very own Marco from Waco who did the Miguel Iglesias. That's pretty darn good because I've done the Michael Iglesias, but he did the Miguel Iglesias. So, you know, shout out to that. Prados, let's get the heck out of here. To let people know, obviously there's no MMA this week, meaning not our show MMA this week, but meaning there are no MMA shows this week. So obviously July 1st is Happy Canada Day, so shout out to Prados for that. But we'll be back next week, of course, doing we have a full fight card next week, Prados, with the tough finale. that is July 7th, and I think the very next night, I think our very own Pammy will be there at T-Mobile Arena, UFC 213. So we have a lot there to go, Prados. Prados, let's hit the music. Let's get going. You know what? I have to buy time, Prados, and the MacBook. Yeah.
Quickly before you end it, I am trying to work on something for Thursday for Proteus's primetime show. If it goes through, it goes through. If it doesn't go through, then there will be no show. So there it is.
All right. How about that? Proteus working OT. Proteus, let's get the heck out of here. Do you have a Twitter follow of the week? And I'm going to put you on blast, sort of, Proteus. Do you have a song of the week?
Okay, so let's start with Twitter follow of the week, Tony. I am going to go with at Hardcore Fight. I've said these guys before. Or Hardcore Lift. Sorry, I've got fighting on the brain. At Hardcore Lift. They're just a couple funny guys from the UK. They do a great job with their show. And as far as Song of the Week, Tony, I'm not actually going to give you a Song of the Week. I recently repurchased Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by the Smashing Pumpkins. In my opinion, their greatest work. I'm going to just give you that album as homework. If you have not heard that album, folks, go out and hear it. And I sent out a Twitter poll the other day. So you need to vote whether or not you like Melancholy more or the Infinite Sadness. Give us your vote, everyone.
By the way, shout out to Billy Corgan, who is, as you may know, does practice MMA. Did you know that?
I didn't know he practiced MMA, but the last time I saw him was a couple of months ago on Adam LaRue's podcast. He did not look like he was doing any physical activity at all, Tony. He is doing...
Damn! All right, and by the way...
documentary, and check your
local
listing for that.
And by the way, Prados, shout out to Billy Corgan, who it is rumored, of course, that he not only had an affair with Courtney Love, but that he also wrote many, many, many songs for her. So Ghost Riders Are Us. Yeah. Song of the Week will be...
Hang on, just real quickly, before you move to your Song of the Week, Billy Corgan, probably the worst live singer I've ever seen in my life. Go ahead, Tony.
You know what? I didn't want to bring that up, but you're right. Good Lord. You're right about that.
Terrible.
Although, in my eyes, their best song actually is Zero. Shout out to James Iha for the great guitar work there. My Song of the Week, Prados, dedicated to Felice Herring, the little bulldog. Of course, she came out to Journeys. Don't Stop Believing. And my Twitter follow of the week isn't much of a Twitter follow. It's Danville Jiu Jitsu at Danville JJ. Thank you, Prados.
You're welcome.
Prados, let's get the heck out of here, Prados.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.